Joshua. We saw that Joshua comes into leadership in Israel following Moses, a great figure, a figure who led Israel for 40 years with great miracles and who spoke with the Lord face to face. And now Moses has died. And his replacement is Joshua. And Joshua is now tasked with leading the Israelites over the Jordan River into the land that has been promised to their forefathers. At the beginning of chapter 1, we saw that God encouraged Joshua to be strong and courageous, to know God's word and to follow God's word. Now, as we enter into the second half of chapter 1, we'll see that Joshua wastes no time in obeying God's word. He says to the nation, in 3 days, we're going to move out. So pack up, get your provisions ready. We're going to go take the land that God is giving to us. Jim, would you come and read this morning's scripture lesson?
Let us first pray. Father, we ask that you be with us as we read this, as we study it, that we our strength may be faithened, our faith will be strengthened, and that we can be more in tune with the promises that you have given us. Now I'll read Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now, we will cross the Jordan here and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord your God has given you for your own. But to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. Your wives, your children, and your livestock may stay in the land that Moses gave you east of the Jordan. But all your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites. You are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of land the Lord your God is giving them. After that, you may go back and occupy your own land, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you east of the Jordan towards the sunrise. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do, and wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command them will be put to death. Only be strong and courageous. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you so much, Jim. Picture, if you would, in your mind eye, like a training field, and say, 200 soldiers out there doing their routine, their exercises, and you see them all in their ranks doing the same motion at the same time. Impressive, right? Perhaps you say, well, they need to do that because they need to follow their commander's voice that closely in battle. And so they need to be that precise in their exercises. But you see this other word, marching bands. A marching band that has practiced long and hard, they, under their drum major's command, follow through in their exact positions at the right time in a coordinated effort of beauty. Or if you've seen the Olympic ceremonies and their opening ceremonies, oftentimes you see a mass of people moving as one. Under the direction and command of one person. And it's something that is intriguing to us. Hundreds of individuals, but acting like one, because they are listening to the same voice. That is beautiful, but we do not always see that in reality in other places in life, do we? If you remember back to your school days, whether that be a few years ago or just last Friday, when the teacher, the boss, says to do something, the whole class may not obey first time right away, right? They might need some more encouragement to do what the teacher says. Or it may be in your workplace, it is a boss, and they have given a direction, a command to all the workers, and you hear grumbling and complaining. Why do we need to do that? That's not the best way to do it. And people don't always, in most parts of their lives, operate as smoothly and organized as the beautiful illustration that we saw in the military, the marching band, and the opening ceremonies of the Olympics. Well, what Jim read for us, I find interesting with the word command or order. It's in there several times. And Joshua is now stepping into this position of leadership over the nation, a newly formed nation as they've come out of Egypt, and he's giving orders, and the nations are responding to those orders. And I think there is a lot in these verses for us and the church to learn from here in 2024. My outline is, first I want to look at Joshua's orders to the officers. Secondly, Joshua's orders to the outliers. And then third, we're going to look at obedience declared. So first, Joshua's orders to the officers are to go and tell. That's verses 10 and 11. He delegates to the officers the message, walk throughout the camp and spread the word. The word there to say is to pack up and prepare to cross the river. The Lord's given to you and we're going to leave in 3 days. So get ready. I know this doesn't flow quite naturally, but at the beginning of this series in Joshua, I just want to put a motif in your mind that as we think about this book, we're looking at it through this lens. And the lens is that Joshua is, in a way, a retelling of the Exodus story. In many ways, you will see a lot of echoes for how God brought them out of the land of slavery. And now you're going to hear a lot of those echoes as they cross into the promised land. So there's this Exodus motif, and yet the greatest Exodus story is yet to come for Joshua, and that is Joshua's namesake, the person he shares a name with, is going to be Jesus. And he is going to lead his people in a final Exodus, right? As we read the New Testament in Hebrews, it talks about a final rest, a promised land that is yet to come for the believers in Christ. And Jesus is leading us through there. And as we get to the book of Revelation, we see a lot of Exodus motifs. And those are echoed again here in the book of Joshua. So I just want to have that as a framework for us to be reading Joshua with an eye back to the Exodus and forward to Christ's final work of deliverance. Which is interesting when we come to our sermon today about orders and Joshua being a commander. Because when we think of Jesus, we think of all different titles for him, all different roles he plays. He is the king. He is the Messiah. He is the Lord. He is the suffering servant. He's Emmanuel. And another title, another role he displays is commander. And we don't always think about Jesus using that word. And so I want to encourage us to add that. Because Joshua is saying to the nation of Israel, let's go forward together. Let's move forward to take the land. And that's a message that Jesus has for the church as well. Let's move forward to the kingdom of God. Let's move in unity. Let's move together towards that goal. So the idea of Jesus as commander, if you think about it in governmental language, the kingdom of God is not anarchy. It is not everybody doing whatever they think is right. That is not how the kingdom of God works. But neither is it a democracy. It is not rise up from the popular vote to representatives who then govern. What the term is it's a theocracy. And that means that God is the king. And it is God who chooses the leaders. We see that in choosing Moses and now Joshua. It is God who sends his prophets to speak his word. It is God who makes his will known through the high priest. And so it is a very God-centered government. And that is what the kingdom of God is going to be. And so now we have Joshua, not chosen by the people to lead, but chosen by God to lead the nation. And he, Jesus, has this order, this command to go and tell. We saw what his go and tell message was. But think through a couple places in the New Testament where Jesus gives that similar command of go and tell. He says it to his disciples. He says, go and tell the lost sheep of Israel that the kingdom of heaven is near. He says it to the women at the empty tomb. He says, go and tell my disciples that I will go ahead and meet them in Galilee. He says it at the final words of his great commission as he is ascending on high. He says, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you to do. So this order to go and tell, it echoes down the halls of history, and it echoes through Jesus to our lives as well, that we too are to be those that go throughout our communities and go and tell the message that Jesus has for us. Well, all these commands we have today, we are to keep. And I want us to remember that Jesus does give us commands. And one of the greatest commandments that he gives us that we know is the great commandment of love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second greatest commandment, these are commandments, is to love your neighbor as ourselves. And those commands are based on love. And I think that is really interesting. We're commanded to love God and to love others. And to command to love is not a hard command to do. It's something we delight in doing. We delight in loving other people. If you think of a couple who is enthralled with each other, they just love to be around each other. They love to please each other. And so command to love is kind of a fun command to have. And yet it takes work. One of the commands of the scriptures is for husbands to love their wives and their wives to respect their husbands. And I heard a radio, little 5-minute radio clip this week that I just thought I'd bring to you if you didn't hear it on the radio. It was about a man who had been married for many years, and he picked up the book, Five Love Languages, and he was reading through it. And he, as he read through it, he realized that his wife's love language was gifts. And he was a bit chagrined to realize he had not given a gift to his wife for over 5 years, except for the mandatory Christmas and birthday gifts. And so he made himself a little promise that for the next week, he was going to love his wife by buying her a gift every day for a week. And he was surprised that as he did that, and every day he brought home a gift for her, that her eyes sparkled more, her smile just got bigger day by day. By the end of the week, he was having so much fun doing this, he said, I'm going to do it another week. And halfway through that week, the wife says, what's going on here? This is amazing. And he said, well, I've been reading this book. He said, give me that book. And so she read it as well and discovered his love language was words of affirmation. And so she started to work on changing her words so every day she was affirming her husband. And it was a real turning point in their marriage. Was it work? Was it change? Yes. Was it wonderful and transforming for them? Yes, it was. And so it is with the command to love. It is not a heavy burden. It is something we delight to do. And yet it does take work to love God with all our whole being, our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. In 2024, last week, I encouraged us to be strong and courageous. For the Lord our God is with us, that we might carry out and obey his word. And that is the desire of our hearts, friends, is that we might love God and obey his commands and to carry them out this year. To call Jesus commander, or another word for that might be master, is what we say every time we say Jesus is Lord. That title that we sometimes take loosely is really saying, Lord Jesus, he's my master. And I'm going to submit myself to him. I'm going to obey what he says because he's the Lord, not myself. Well, that was my first point, is Joshua's orders to go and tell to his officers. My second point is Joshua's orders to the outliers. And the bulk of these verses 12 through 15, you'll notice, have to do with 2.5 tribes. And it's the tribes of the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half of Manasseh. So Manasseh was one of the tribes that half of them had land on the east side of the Jordan, and half of them will inherit on the west side of the Jordan. So the 2.5 tribes that are inheriting land east of the Jordan, where they currently were in what was beforehand Moab, their land, Moses has said, you can settle down here. You and your children can have this land as your inheritance. And so now we have a potential for disunity, because Joshua is saying, everybody over the Jordan, let's go forward and take possession of the land. And the Reubenites, Gadites, and half-tribe of Manasseh say, well, why do we need to go? We have our inheritance here. We might just say to you guys, go, we wish you well, have a great time conquering the land and taking possession of it, but we have nothing to gain by helping you. Let's just sit back and enjoy our rest now. That could very well happen, right? And so Joshua himself, as the leader, he doesn't send the delegated officers to them. He goes. He goes and talks to these 2.5 tribes. And he says, remember. That's a kind of an imperative force. Remember this. Moses commanded you. Again, we see that word commanded. When he gave you this land and said, this can be in your inheritance, that yes, your wives, your children can settle down here, your flocks can stay here, but your fighting men must go ahead of the 9.5 tribes that are going across the Jordan. That's a big ask, right? He's saying, leave everything behind and you go forward and you help your brothers who have not inherited their land. You help your brothers who are still seeking to find a land of rest. Well, what could have happened? This was a ripe situation for division. That would have been horrible. The newly formed nation of Israel was 12 tribes, and they were all the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They had unity, but right here they could have divided. They could have split. We had the east side and the west side of the Jordan, and that would have been a horrible thing. The only thing you need to do is look to the next book of the Bible, of Judges, where everybody's kind of doing the right in their own eyes to see the fallout of disunity. So Joshua talks to them and says, remember the command of Moses, go ahead of the conquest of Canaan. And this is really a test of Joshua's leadership. Will his command be respected by those who have no need to obey it? The emphasis is indeed on unity. And friends, I feel like we need to continue to stress that as a command for the church. That's a command. And something Jesus prayed for fervently in one of his last prayers in John 17, that the church may be one as he and the Father were one. His desire is for unity within the church. And yet there's all kinds of things that could divide us. All kinds of things. Big things, little things. Where we live, how we look, how we like to worship, how we like to have this color of carpet or not. You know, there's all kinds of things that we could differ on. And yet Christ's desire is to man is for us to be unified. He says there is one Spirit, there is one baptism, there is one Lord, one faith, one church. And we need to have that call for unity commanded by God being a priority in our church as not just a local church, but a global church, that we stand for each other. And we see this. So we see this in many ways, and it's beautiful. At a presbytery level, if you go a little bit above our congregation level, you see churches that are passionate about planting new churches. And then you see established churches that are comfortable and at rest who could say, well, we wish you well. We hope that goes a great venture for you, saying, no, we're going to get involved. We're going to pray for your new church plant. We're going to support your new church plant. And you know what? We're going to pay your electric bill as a church plant. And it's a sense of unity that we're in this together. It's not, hey, we got what we need. We've been established for a long time. But no, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're going to join you in your work as well. We see this in our congregation. Here we don't have the haves and the have-nots. We're all on equal footing. We are all sinners redeemed by God's grace alone. And so we rejoice in helping each other. That brings us joy because we're a family. We know that as helping you and helping each other, we're helping ourselves. We're helping our congregation. And so we have a generous spirit here in this congregation, generous with funds, but also generous with caring and sharing and praying one for another. And yet we still need to strive for that unity that God orders us to have, because there are so many things that could divide us. So let's keep that as a priority. So my first point was Joshua's orders to the officers to go and tell, and reminding us that Jesus also orders us to go and tell. The second point was Joshua's orders to the outliers, those who were kind of at the fringe and could have very well just said, see you later, and remembering Jesus' call for unity. My third point is going to be looking at verses 16 through 18, where obedience is declared. Now, if this were a film, I would picture the director making a big dramatic pause here. All right. Joshua's just confronted and commanded these 2.5 tribes. How are they going to respond? What is going to be the outcome of this? Are they going to throw up their hands and say, no way, we're not listening to you? Or are they going to obey Joshua? Well, let's reverberate with their response, because their response is wholehearted here. It's remarkable to look at. It's a strong declaration of full obedience. They didn't say, yeah, we'll do our minimum commitment. We'll honor the contract we had with Moses, and then that's it. They didn't say, well, we'll give it a try. Maybe we'll cross with you and be part of that. And if it's going well, we'll continue. If it's not going well, we're coming back to our land here. And they didn't respond like that. But so many of our responses in this lifetime are like that, aren't they? They're a bit half-hearted commitments. Yeah, I'll be there. Unless something better comes up, then I'm going to do that. Or, I will go as long as it's pleasing me. As long as I'm happy and satisfied, I'll be involved with that. But, hey, listen, my happiness is more important than the unity, and I'm going to make sure I'm happy no matter what. If you heard people with that kind of attitude going into a marriage, you'd say they're starting on rocky ground, right? You can't go in half-hearted. Wanting your own needs as a priority. And yet, you know people who have that relationship with the Lord. It's kind of half-hearted. I'll be a follower of Jesus as long as things are going well for me and I'm getting my back scratched. Sure, why not? Or it's not, I'll be a follower of Jesus until something better comes along. You know, I'll kind of start there as my default. But we need to have a commitment to the Lord like these tribes had to Joshua. What did they say? They gave unconditional obedience. Read these words. They said, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. Whatever. That's wholehearted, right? Whatever you say, we're going to do. That's unquestioning. You tell us to do it, we are going to do it. And then they continue, wherever you send us, we're going to go. We're going to cross the Jordan. If you say go that way, we're going that way. Wherever you send us, that's where we're going to go. And then they say, just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. That's pledging full, wholehearted obedience. Joshua is not Moses, but yet they say his authority. They're going to treat him the same as they treated Moses. To all these positive statements, they add a corresponding negative. They stay this. They say, whoever rebels against your word and does not obey it, whatever you command them to do will be put to death. Okay. They are all in, right? This is not half-hearted. This is, we are going to obey you, or we will put to death any rebels who refuse to. So this is a strong, wholehearted commitment that they are standing up and saying, we're with you, Joshua. Amid these declarations, they do have two conditional phrases. And maybe you mentioned that, you noticed that there were two times they said, only. All right? They say, only may the Lord be with you as he was with Moses. In other words, we are promising wholehearted obedience here, but may you be with the Lord and listening to his voice, just as Moses did. And they also say, only be strong and courageous. Only be strong. And that's just an encouragement to Joshua. He's the new leader. He's taking charge. He's saying, let's go forward. And God had three times in the first half of the chapter said, be strong and courageous. Now the tribes are saying that to him. Be strong and courageous. We recognize God is with you. Lead us. Lead us. Whatever happens across the Jordan, we're trusting God and we're following you. Friends, in 2024, as we trust in God's presence with us to make us strong and courageous to obey his word, may we be a church full of commitment. Commitment to him wholeheartedly. That unity may be a core value as our church. That we do have one Lord. He's our master. And we all listen to him. They have one spirit that connects all of us. Friends, if you're here this morning and you find your commitment isn't wholehearted, maybe it's flagging, maybe it's half-hearted, maybe you're not sure if there is a commitment in your heart to the Lord, I would love to talk to you. One of our elders would love to talk to you. We want to explore that with you, walk with you, listen to where you're at, because we love you and we want you to know the joy of obeying the commands of the Lord. But for all of us, may we be one. May we defend one another. May we strengthen one another. May we fight with and for one another. Amen. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for the words of Joshua, because these are words that are prophetic words, not just history bound, but speaking through the ages to our hearts and our situation. You know our proneness to do our own thing. You know our proneness to disunity and division. And so you speak words calling us to something better, something beyond just us, to having you, Lord of all creation, as our commander. Father, give us strength as a congregation to support one another in our lives and in the grace of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.